This morning. Edward McKendry Bounds was an American author, attorney, and a minister. And in his lifetime, he wrote 11 books. 9 of them focused on the subject of prayer. And among the many great quotes on prayer that you can find in his books, he said this. He said, prayer puts God in the matter with commanding force. I like that, and I believe that's true. I believe that when we pray, we bring the power of God to bear on our situation, whatever it is, whether it's a virus or whether it's a another medical need, whether it's a financial problem or relational problem. When we pray, we bring the power of God to bear on our situation. And so, in light of the current crisis with the coronavirus, we've been asked by our president to participate in the National Day of Prayer. And why wouldn't we? Why would we not do just that? If anyone should be praying, it would be Christians who have access to the living God. So, this morning, I'm going to divert from our series on 1 Peter and address the subject of prayer. And then, as Kevin kind of mentioned, leave some time for some prayer, actually at the end of the service, not after the service, but I'm going to just talk briefly this morning. I know you're saying, well, you always say that, but then you don't. But I'm going to try to keep this brief. I'm going to talk about a story from the Old Testament about prayer. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give anyone who wants to lead out in prayer regarding that as an opportunity. And after a brief time, we're going to wrap things up with a closing chorus. But Jesus told his followers, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. What a great promise. Jesus wants us to ask, he wants us to pray, and there is joy in connection with that. I hope you believe in prayer and have yourself experienced the joy of seeing God answer your prayers. But I think for many times, or maybe periods in our life, or maybe just true for some Christians, they doubt that God hears their prayers. Perhaps they prayed about something, you know, very seriously. They prayed and prayed, and God didn't seem to answer, or something that they didn't want happened. And so they said, well, they quit, they give up, and they don't pray. They've been frustrated with it. There was a time when I had doubts about prayer. But honestly, I have seen the Lord do so many amazing things in response to my prayers that I've become convinced. And it's not because I'm somebody special. Believe me, it's not that. It's because I just kept at it and learned about prayer and tried to pray more consistent with what the scriptures teach about it over the years. And boy, I could tell you so many stories about wonderful things that God has done. And I'm not just saying that, but it's actually true. Some are very personal, but others are small things that God did for me that really helped me. And I've really gotten to like that idea that God is my helper. Not that I'm, that God helps me do just what I want to do, but no, God helps me in so many ways with the things I have to do. And I hope that you have come to find that too. So today I want to go and look at a dramatic example of God's power. This is Isaiah 37. If you would find that in your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 37. I don't know that I ever preached on this passage before. If I have, it's not in the last 20 years. So sometimes I look and see if I've preached on something before, because I'll have an old file in my computer. But I have a newer computer now, really wonderful, just great. But it has all my old files on it, and there is nothing on Isaiah 37. So I just want to talk briefly about this. It's page 597, I think, if you're using a Pew Bible. So anyway, in Isaiah 37, we're back a few years. We're back around 700 B.C. The once united kingdom under Solomon is divided into two smaller nations, Israel to the north and Judah to the south. And it is in Judah that what we're going to talk about is happening. Judah is where Jerusalem is. It's the southern part of the kingdom. It becomes its own nation after Solomon dies, and there's a split. There's actually a bit of a civil war, some fighting and skirmishes, but they become two nations. And so what's going on is the Assyrian king, Sennacherib, is waging a military campaign. This is what kings did in those days, the powerful ones did, and he is the ruling power of the day. He is the world power. It won't be long, though, that the Babylonians will come on the scene and edge them out. But for now, it's the Assyrians, and Sennacherib is the current king, and he's attacking the cities in Judah because he can. He's doing it because he can. He can go to these small cities, these towns, and say, look, give me this and that or we'll destroy you. And so they give them this or that. And this is the way they got money and more wealth. They extracted it from the smaller cities who had the option of trying to resist or of just paying. And so they often just paid. So the king of Judah at the time is Hezekiah. Now, Sennacherib has encamped around Jerusalem. He's outside the walls right when this happens. And he's communicating to the Israelite or Judean leadership, to the king of Judah. And so what's happened up to this point is Hezekiah has received a letter from Sennacherib telling him that he should surrender, that his God won't be able to save them because his God, the Lord God, is no better than the gods of the other nations that they've already defeated. So it would be foolish to resist because your God is nothing, and we will kill all of you. We will just, it'll be terrible for you if you resist. So the wise thing to do is to make this go easy and just give up. Open your gates, let us come in, and we'll treat you better than we will if we have to just knock down your walls, because then we're going to be angry. So he's gotten this letter. And this is, we picked this up in chapter 37, verse 14. Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you who are the God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they were destroyed. So now, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are the Lord. So what Hezekiah does is he prays. He takes the problem to God. After he reads the letter, he goes directly to the temple and he lays out the letter. It would have been a scroll, most likely. He lays it out. He spreads it out right before the presence of the Lord. And it's not that the Lord doesn't know what's in the letter, but that Hezekiah is saying, Lord, look what's going on, and this is your battle. This has to do with you, Lord. He wants God in the fight because God, he will say, is being mocked by this pagan king. God is being blasphemed by the things he is saying. And that's exactly what's going on here. Now, apparently, Hezekiah knew Psalm 46. I think he did. And he knew what to do when this kind of trouble came. In Psalm 46, the first three verses, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. If you're not familiar with this psalm, this is a good psalm to know, because you're going to have trouble in your life. I guarantee it. You've had trouble in your life. There are times in each of our lives where the very foundations seem to be shifting. Everything is going wrong. Things are falling apart. The worst is happening. Jerusalem here is about to be destroyed unless God gets involved. But fortunately, the people of Jerusalem and Judea have a king who knows that the Lord is a very present help in times of trouble. And the Assyrian army camped outside your door is definitely trouble. It's serious trouble. So instead of falling into fear, he says we will not fear, he goes to the Lord. And if that's all you remember today, that's enough. Because when trouble comes, you will be tempted to fall into fear. To begin worrying and getting all stressed out. What are we going to do? Oh, it's terrible. There's no hope. It's all over. And you will just miss greatly what God can do. And so, like Hezekiah, we have to remember that we have this refuge and strength, that one we can go to in time of trouble. So we will not fear. You see, we will not fear. So just keep that up there for a moment, because I think this is important to get into our minds. Right now, there's a lot of fear out there. A lot of people are really afraid. It was mentioned in our prayer time. There's scary things going on. Now, for us, we don't have to fear because God can help us. Fear is not the right response. I think respecting what this virus is being wise and taking precautions is what we should do. But we don't have to fear because we have a God who can help us. And so that's why we're going to pray in just a few minutes here for God's help. Now, similar to what he says there in Psalm 46 is similar to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. He says, do not be anxious or worried, or you could say fearful, about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is the response to fear. This is our response to anxiety. This is our response to worry. This is what we should do. We should pray, okay, instead of doing these other things. This is what Paul sets up. He says, do not be worried, anxious, or fearful, but when the trouble comes, go to prayer. Let your request be made known to God, and God's peace will come into your life. This is the promise. This is very similar to what the psalmist said in Psalm 46. We have a strength and a help in time of need, time of trouble, so we don't have to fear. Now, one thing, you may have noticed about his prayer was that it was God-focused. His prayer is mostly about who God is, about God's power, about God's reputation, about God's glory. If you listen, or if you look at that again, that's really the way his prayer goes. And in verse 20, he tells God that he should save the people. And why? So that everyone would know that he alone is Lord. It's interesting that in verse 20, that's the reason. O Lord, our God, save us from his hand. It's not just period. That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are the Lord. That you would be seen who you truly are. That you would be honored and glorified. And it reminds me of the first half of the Lord's Prayer. If you're familiar with the Lord's Prayer, you know that the first half of it is focused on the things of God. Not just, okay, this is how you pray. Just tell God what you need. Just tell him what you want. No. Jesus taught us to pray that we were to take into account God's name. Right? Holy is your name. Or may your name be holy. God's kingdom. Your kingdom come. And your will be done. These are the first concerns that the Lord shows us that we should have when we go to prayer. Not just starting telling God everything we want, like a list. Here's my list, God. And we see that reflected in Hezekiah's prayer. He's talking about the Lord's reputation, the Lord's glory, the Lord's honor, what people will think of the Lord if his people fail. So given this, what is the Lord going to do? How is the Lord going to respond to this prayer? Well, we see some of that response in verses 21 and 22, where it says, and it comes through Isaiah the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. And we just stop there. He's going to go on to tell him what's going to happen. Now, he uses some very poetic language, a lot of imagery. We're not going to read all that. We're going to come back to the end. But first, notice what he says in verse 21. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, I'm going to bring help and assistance. Because you have prayed. Hezekiah could have just hoped. He could have just worried. Or he could have just complained about the situation. But he prayed to the living God who hears the cries of his children. Take note of that. He prayed to the Lord. James tells us in James 4:2 that we often have not because we ask not. You don't receive from the Lord because you don't ask him. And he's talking to Christians there. And instead, we often do these other things. We worry, we complain, or we just hope. But in this case, he goes to the Lord and he presents a prayer to the Lord. It's clear what he's asking for. And he says specifically, because you have prayed to me about this, Sennacherib, I'm gonna help you out here. I'm going to bring something. Remember that. Now, God is sovereign, and he does whatever he wants. But here we see that he tells us it's because you have prayed. And that's just what the text says, teaches us. Okay? Prayer is important. Jesus more than once tells us in the Gospels to persist in prayer and not give up. We want to just give up. Oh, it doesn't do any good. No, keep praying. Don't give up. Billy Graham said that heaven is full of answers to prayer for which no one ever bothered to ask. And I think there's truth in that. How many answers could have come if we would have prayed? But we didn't. We took another route. We did something else in light of this problem. So then, let's just quickly look at how God answered. This is the dramatic part. I have to warn you, it's pretty violent. Okay? It's rated PG. Maybe PG-13. Okay. So we pick up in verse 33. Skip down to there. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Israel. He shall not come into the city or shoot an arrow there or come before it with a shield or cast up a siege against mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same he shall return, and he shall not come into this city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. That's the rating for the violence here. 185,000 Assyrian soldiers are taken out in a night. This is the power of God in answer to prayer. One man's prayer. This is what God does. God stepped in and entered in with commanding force. He took out these 185,000 fighters without a battle. There was no battle. There were no arrows shot. There was no Judeans going to get killed in the fight. Jerusalem is saved. God has rescued his people because the king prayed. And the honor of God is restored. We see this down as we read on in verse 38. And as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, Adrammelech and Sharezer, his son, struck him down with the sword. And after that, they escaped into the land of Ararat. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. So not only were the army decimated by God, God also took care of this blasphemer, Sennacherib. When he went back and went to his temple, and when he prayed, he was killed by his own family. Quite a contrast to when Hezekiah went into his temple and pray to his God. But this is how God answered prayer. The Lord helped his people in a time of trouble. And he can help you in your troubles. And he can help our country. And he can help the world with this terrible virus. I really believe that. I believe he can. After King Solomon had built the temple back in 1000 BC, the Lord said this to him. He said, Solomon, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We're at a time where we need our land healed. There is a spreading threat in our land and in the world, and it is believing Christians who have the ability to bring the power of God into this battle more than anyone else. So we're going to just spend a few minutes praying, and then I'm going to lead us in a closing chorus at the end of that. But we're going to pray for those who are sick, their families, for those who are living in fear and anxiousness, for the professionals providing medical care, for those working on treatments and a vaccine, and for our leaders to act with wisdom and courage as they make vital decisions that impact each of our lives. So I'm going to begin, but if you would like to voice your prayer, don't be shy. Just stand up and bring your prayer to the Lord. And after a while, I'll close our time. Father, we do come to you because we know you are the most powerful and only true God. You alone are God. You alone are the creator of all things. You alone are the one who holds all things together. And Jesus, your son, He is Lord of all. He is King of kings. And so, Father, we come to you and we seek your help in this time of need. We join with Christians all around the world praying, Lord, and we would confess that there is sin in our country, Lord. There's, without a doubt, sinful things. And we would need to repent, Lord, and I pray that you would convince us of that and show us that. Lord, we would also pray that you would bring help in this time of need and give wisdom to those who are working on a cure, a vaccine. We think of those, Lord, who must be terribly afraid at this very moment who contracted this disease. We think of all the people just recently in Italy who've been discovered to have it. Lord, we pray that you would be with them and in this time of trial for them that they would turn to you and personally seek your help from you, Lord. But Father, we come not just as one voice, but as many voices. We unite together and we come to you now and we bring our request to you, Lord, for your help. And we do this, Lord, in Jesus' name.